Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Pei Zayin, which means it's as good as gold. And we're holding right at that Mishnah, right at the bottom. Shnayim shishalchu shnei gittim shavim v'nitarvu. So what do we have over here? Two guys, same name. Each one of them is married to a girl by the same name. Each of them decides to divorce their wives, and they go to a sofer, and they buy two for one. So he writes two gittin with the same names. And then they get mixed up. They don't remember which one was the one that was written for the first guy with the name and which one was written for the other guy with the name. And of course, you can't say, well, what difference does it make? They're both the same name because it has to be written lishma. So we had a serious problem over here. So what do we do? Well, what's the problem? Let's give both gittin to Mrs. A prime, and then let's give the same two gittin to Mrs. A subprime. I mean, this way, both of them got the get that was meant for them, right? I mean, they don't know which get was for them, but it doesn't matter. They know that the get that was meant for them definitely did get to them, right? So notim shneim lezu v'shneim lezu. But imagine the situation if one of them got lost and now we only have one. Uh-oh. So then we can't use that one at all because we don't know which one it's for and it's not miyuchad for either. So we don't have a clear nesina of a get to either of them. Hari hasheni batel. Now, how about if you have five people who decide to divorce their wives? Over here, they all have different names. Their wives have different names. But they figure they can do this on the cheap, you see, if they just have one get written for all. So they will put in all of their names and all of their wives' names, and they will get one get for all of them. So they write the kalal of them. We'll see what that means. B'toch haget. Ish ploni begarish plonit. Uploni plonit. Uploni plonit. And then you have the signatures at the end of the edim. So then that's good for all of the women. And obviously each one has to be given this get. You give it to the first one. Then you take it back. Give it to the second one. And each one of them gets a get with her name in it. And the Besdin will write a confirmation of the fact that they've been divorced anyway. We generally will tear up a get afterwards, and then everything is good. You didn't attend the kolachat v'achat. But how about if you wrote a separate tofes, the kolachat v'achat? You didn't write them as a klal. So that means we've got two possibilities here. On the one hand, we have you wrote it as a klal, and on the other hand, we call it you wrote it as a tofes for each one. What precisely defines a klal? And what defines a tofes, that we're going to see as a machlokas of the Gemara. And then at the end of these five different tofsei gittin, I mean, obviously if it was a complete new tofes gittin, this is true, but the question is what counts as a new tofes? So then if you have the witnesses signed at the end, the only get that's kosher is the one that clearly the edim signed on, which is the last one, because, I mean, how do I know that the edim were referring back to the ones on the top, since these are essentially separate gittin, one written beneath the other one. Okay, so first of all, this idea, bichlal, that you don't have to know which get is yours, so that as long as they, each one of them, even though they got mixed up, but each one of them definitely got their get, the correct get, even though I can't identify it, so exactly who is that going according like that it doesn't matter and that's perfectly okay. Amar Reb Yirmiyah, well, it can't be going like Reb Elazar because remember that Reb Elazar holds that the Iker Edus on a get is the Ge'ede Misira. And therefore the signature on the get isn't even really important as we saw yesterday for the 10th time, according to Reb Elazar. So therefore, this cannot be going, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, according to Rabbi Elazar, because look, according to Rabbi Meir, when the Torah said v'katav la, which means lishma, That was referring to the Chatima that empowered the get, right? According to Rebbe Lazar, when the Torah says Vikatavla, it's referring to the actual get. But when you write the actual get, if there's no testimony on it, there's no power to that get. The power to the get is only with the witnesses that see the get being given. So then when it says Vikatavla Vinatan, that would mean that the giving over of the get also is the empowerment and therefore has to be done lishma, vikatav v'natan. Since over here, I cannot say I gave it lishma because, well, where's the get you gave lishma? Well, I don't know, but somewhere here, that's not lishma by definition. Lishma means that I can say, this is the document that is being now being given to you for the purposes of your divorce, and that's the lishma. So then it can't work out according to Rebbe Lazar, but it works out just fine according to Rebbe Meir, because Enochinami, Aliba to Rebbe Meir, we don't have a problem. He says it's the signature that's important. Well, it was signed just fine. And now we give it over to each one in turn. What's the difference? So it's the Loka Rebbe Lazar. Dika Rebbe Lazar, Kimadam Reita, Mesira Karte, Holo Yade, Behaminao Kamagasha. And therefore, you do not have a nitina lishma. And according to Rebbe Lazar, says Rebbe Yirmi at least, according to Rebbe Lazar, you must have a nitina lishma. Abaya says, who says that you need a nitina lishma? Why can't we have the empowerment ex post facto? Why isn't what's important, according to Rebbe Lazar, to write the get lishma? And then when I give the get that was written lishma, the Edei Mesira empower that get. I don't understand. Why do we have to assume that according to Rebbe Lazar, you need the actual nitina lishma? I don't see how that follows automatically. So afilu tema, therefore, I would say, says Abaya, that afilu tema Rebbe Lazar, even if you hold it's going a libet to Rebbe Lazar, maybe ema deboi Rebbe Lazar k'tiva lishma. I would still say that it's possible. But the most that Rebbe Lazar is asking is that the ketiva should be lishma, but who says that you need the nitina lishma? Maybe the mesira empowers a get that was written lishma, and that would be fine. So nitina lishma mi boy. Therefore, I would suggest as a baya that the Mishnah works out fine, both aliba de Rebbe Meir and aliba de Rebbe Lazar. Okay, now the second part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah is talking about the difference between writing a group get. There's two ways to write a group get. You could either write it as what the Mishnah calls a klal, or you can write it tofes tofes. Now, what defines those terms? Hechidami klal, hechidami tofes. Please define these terms for me. Rabbi Yochanan, listen, I think it's quite simple. If you have one date on this get, and then you list Mr. So-and-so was Megarish, Mrs. So-and-so, Mrs. Not-so-and-so was Megarish, Mrs. Not-so-and-so, and so on and so forth. So each one of them is still considered to be a klal. Why? Because you wrote on this date, the following took place. Okay, so then the following is all one event. And therefore, the Edim are assumed to have signed on the whole thing. But if you wrote a separate date for each one of them, so then that is, for all intents and purposes, a separation between the various people. And how do I know that the witnesses had in mind to sign on all of the above people? Maybe they were signing only on the last one. That is the reason that it would only be kosher at the end. So that would be a tofes. Reish Lakish says, oh no. Even if you wrote one date, how do I know if each one was written separately? Mr. X is Megarish Mrs. X, and Mr. Y is Megarish Mrs. Y, and so on and so forth. How do I know that the Edom are signed all the way on the top? Maybe they're just signed to the last event. So I would say that even if you've got one date, it's still a toe-face if everybody is mentioned separately with their wife, one after the other. You know what it means when it says a klal? The only way for it to be a klal is that you literally wrote, we the following. And then you have a list of all of the names. So you write, Onu, Plony, Uploni, me, Joe, Jim, George, and so on, were Megarish, our wives, respectively, Jill, Jackie, and so on and so forth. That's considered to be all one thing. There's no way that the Adam were not signing on everybody, because you can't tease it apart. But the fact that there was one date, why would that be enough to make it all one get? Excuse me, but if you hold, like Rabbi Yochanan that says, Zman Echad Lekulam is a klal, how in the world do we rely on that? I mean, Reish Lakish makes a lot of sense. If we've separated out the names of everybody, don't we need to consider the fact that it's certainly possible that the Edim are only signing on the last piece? How do you know that they're signing all the way back at the beginning? So, Abasur the Khatimi. And I know that you think that's weird. I mean, why not say that if Adim signed on something, that the something that they signed on is the document? Well, what are you going to do about this situation, okay? We have a bright that if you have Adim that are signed on a get, and the last words of the get are, and George also sends his best regards to, right? So you appended your regards as the husband to whoever it is that's going to be bringing this get to the wife, right? Then the get is possible. Why? Maybe the Adim only signed on the regards. Yes, we testified to the fact that George, the husband, sends regards. How do you like that? We can't rely on that. So if, isn't that insane? But Afal Pikein, we're going to consider that possibility. So if you're ready to consider that possibility, so then Alachat Kama V'Kama, you have to take into consideration that you've got a list of different Gittim, so to speak, because you have a list of different names, man, woman, man, woman, man, woman. So then we should certainly worry about the fact that the Git Adim are only signed on the last. I mean, that's a lot more reasonable than to say they're only signed on best regards from George. Right? Okay. So isn't it true that if Edim are chatumim ha-she'ilat shalom beget, that the whole get is possible? Because chashin ha-shem ha-she'ilat shalom chatmu, were worried that they only signed on best regards. Yeah, that's true, says the Gemara. But you forget that Rabbi Yochanan himself actually explained that braita in a way that answers your question. You don't remember? Lav itmar Allah. Don't you remember that we learned on that Rabbi Abo quoted Rabbi Yochanan? He said, Rabbi Yochanan himself explained to me, but the Dimi Farshali, Mineda Rabbi Yochanan, if you wrote the word as follows, send regards to, so then you're right, send regards to, signed, two witnesses, then it's possible. But if you write and send my best regards to, then it's not a problem. Because and means that it's just appended to the get. I'm not going to sign on an and I'm going to leave out the and, right? So therefore, this case is talking about, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we used an and between each one of these gitin. So achinami dichtiv be. Ploni, uploni, uploni. Each one begins with an and. So since it begins with an and, the same way that Rabbi Yochanan says that it's considered to be a signature on the entire get in the case of the regards, so too, says Rabbi Yochanan, as long as you have one date, it's considered to be a signature on the entire document because it's all connected with and. Okay, now another problem that we had, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the two. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Zman Echad is what defines klal, and Zman Lekol Echad V'Yachad is a tofes. So then, assuming that when he says there are different dates, if there are different dates, then the only one that's kosher is the one that was signed on the day, right? Didn't we say that if you write a get and you put in the date from that day and it's only signed at night, that it's not kosher? So imagine if you've got five different days, the same get, and then obviously the Adim, even if they did mean to sign on all of them, none of them are kosher except the one that was today's date. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. What are we talking about? If you've got different dates, You don't need the different dates to be a problem because it's a different toe face. You have different dates are a problem because they're different dates. And therefore, the Edim were signed on the wrong date. So the typical davli nichtav biyom v'nechtam b'layla. If they're different dates, then you got a problem on everyone except for the last one anyway, without the tofes problem. You understand the case. Rabbi Yochanan was quoted as having explained the case very simply. When it says different dates, it doesn't mean they were different dates. It means they were different descriptions of the same date. So the first one says on Monday, June the 1st. So-and-so was Megayer so-and-so. And then it says, on Monday, June the 1st, again. The other person was Megayer, and so on. But it's all the same date. I mean, we think we're stupid. So the problem over here is that since you dated each one of these divorces, of course it's the same date. It's not, that isn't the point. But the point is that that separates out each event so that we have no reason to believe that the Edim were signed on all of the Tofsim. But it's still only a problem of tofsim. So Alon, how's vacation, Alon? You look like you're concentrating really heavy.
Love doesn't really get much worse.
What's that?
Love doesn't get much worse than this.
Well, not bad for a front yard.
Not bad.
If I didn't know better, I think you were in Italy.
No, it's as beautiful. They are both magnificent countries.
Okay. Very nice.
We got a spare room for Rebbe. When's Rebbe coming?
I don't know what country you're in. How can I come?
Croatia.
Maybe well, we have Daniil. That's his territory. No wonder he didn't show it today. He's probably on his way.
Oh, we look forward to having him for Shabbos.
Hey, for Abba. Ah, Ine Abba. Ine, we'll be Croatia. Okay. All right, so you keep us on our toes here. Very good. Omale Ravina Ravash. Let me have you some. I have a little bit of a problem with Reish Lakish. You've been asking all these questions on Rabbi Yochanan. Now, according to Reish Lakish says that no matter what you do, it's still considered to be a separate tofes, even if you've got one date for everybody. And the only way to define the klal, hechidami klal, is that you write the following text. We, and then you write your names. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, David, we were Megarish, our wives, Rachel, Rivka, and so on and so forth, right? So I don't understand. So then, if that's the case, then you're literally using one get for two women. And because in the end, you don't have any separate description of A being Megarish, Mrs. A, and B being Megarish, Mrs. B. So then we've got another problem, because the Torah writes Vikatav La. Remember when the Dayak La Velola Chaverta. You cannot write the same get for two women. And that's what you're doing over here. So how would that be kosher? Ah, obviously, according to Reish Lakish, there's two steps. The point of writing at the beginning, we, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Megarish, Rachel Rivka, and so on, right? That isn't the get. That's just there to let the witnesses know that what you are about to read is nogeya, these five people and their wives. That's the point. Now, after we write that language, then we follow with the words, the hodar katav, then we write after that, and Mr. A was Megarish, Mrs. A, Mr. B was Megarish, Mrs. B, and so on and so forth. Ploni girish plonit, ploni girish plonit, and that way everyone has their own separate get. So the point is that now I'm 100% sure that the Edim signed on all of them because the Edim saw that the intent of the document was the following five people were Megarish their five wives. Okay. Omele Ravina Ravashi, but that now I've got another question then. If that's what Reish Lakish is saying, then he's actually, you're telling me that actually if the get would have been written in aggregate, that it would have been puzzle. But remember that we learn la la mi isha, correct? Which means that shichrurei avadim is exactly the same as the din of kitei nashim. Now, I'm going to give you an example of a shichur avadim that we had before and that you know about, and we don't seem to have a problem with the fact that it's written in aggregate, because why is this any different? Mashnah mehadatanya, we had the braita where somebody writes all of his property to both of his avadim. So he writes kol nechasav l'shnei avadav at one point. So they're both kaina. Therefore, each one of them also owns the other one, half of the other one. So each one has to be meshachrer the other one. Okay, fine. Interesting situation. But meanwhile, we do see that if he wrote to both of them all of his property, that became the get shichrur for both of them. But I thought you said you can't write two in one. So why in the get do we have a problem here of writing two in one, that he had, Reish Lakish had to make this big deal about then needing to go back and mention each one separately? Says over there, Kanu b'mishachrim zezeh. I says, again, you're forgetting the way that we explained the sugya. Don't you remember? We learned this before. We had this before. V'lavu kimna b'shnei shtarot. We said that he wrote two separate shtarot. In each one of the shtarot, he wrote, I give A, my Eved, all my property. And the other one he wrote, I give B, my Eved, all my property. Then he gave them to one person to be Kena on behalf of the two Avadim, so that they were Kona at the same instant. And that's what it's referring to, but it's not referring to writing everything in one shtar. Okay, so forget about that. Now let's get back to the main question. What is considered to be Klal, and what is considered to be Tofes? So Tani Kavasid Reb Yochanan and Tani Kavasid Reish Lakish. We have a braita supporting both alternatives. Let's take a look at the braita that supports Reb Yochanan, that the single date is sufficient to turn this into a single document that the witnesses are signing upon. Chamisha shekatvu betoch haget, ish ploni megarish plonit, ploni megarish plonit, ploni megarish plonit, each one of them beginning with a vav, uploni, uploni, which of course it was central to Rabbi Yochanan's entire thesis. And as long as you have a zman echad lekulam, and then at the bottom, you've got just those two witnesses all the way at the bottom. All of them are kosher. V'tinaten l'kol achat v'achat. You take this joint klal get, you give it to each one of the women in turn, and then each one of them is divorced. But if you had a separate date, zman l'kol achat v'achat, and then you had witnesses on the bottom, only the last one is kosher, the one that is read together with the witnesses. So, Echeidim Nikrainim O Kasher. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betira Omer, actually, only if there's a space. If you leave a space between the last one, the fifth one, and the one before it, or whichever one, but once you left one from between the last one and the upper ones, then you have to assume that the Edim are only signed on what is graphically different. So that space creates a graphic difference for the ones at the end. Then it's considered to be a separate get. But if not, if there's no space, then even if you have a date, so now Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, he is like the furthest away from Reish Lakish. He says the only thing that's going to differentiate is an actual space between the signatures at the bottom and this previous get. Because the gate itself, date itself, ein zman mafsikan. A different date is not as good as separation between the events if there is no space. And therefore, we have a bright over here that has Rabbi Yochanan Shita Mamash. And then it has a Shita that is even more makel than Rabbi Yochanan in terms of being machsher, a joint get. Okay. That was the braita for Rabbi Yochanan. Now, you said we had a braita that also is like Reish Lakish's interpretation. Where's that? So, Tanya Kavasid Reish Lakish. Here it says in the braita that if you have five people that wrote klal, betoch haget, and now we have Reish Lakish's language exactly, we, the people, ploni, uploni, and so on and so forth, we all got together and gerashnu nishotenu. And then you list all of the wives. That's exactly what Reish Lakish says. And then it goes back over it, exactly like Rish Lakish says. A was Megarish Mrs. A, Mr. B was Megarish Mrs. B, Mr. C, and so on. Mo, perfect Rish Lakish. And then you have one date for all of this. And on the bottom, you have the witnesses. All are kosher. Give it to each one of them. But if each one of these afterwards has a separate date, and there's a space between them, and then you have the witnesses, then only the one that the Edom are Nikroim Imo is kosher. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, even if you don't have a space between them, if you have a separate date, it's still possible, because even just a separate date is possible. Wait a minute. This is not Reish Lakish. You said this is supposed to support Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, according to him, even if you didn't have a date on every one of them, I don't understand. Why does it say if you have a date for each one of them, that is the reason that it's possible? According to Reish Lakish, even if you have one date for all of them, Reish Lakish says that it's still considered to be a tofes if you name the each man and woman separately. So this is not Reish Lakish. Ah, one second. That was Reish Lakish referring to Rabbi Yochanan. But how about Reish Lakish in his own understanding of what the Kalal is? You start the get off, and you said, we the people, okay? And then you went back and you listed each one separately. Now the question is, according to Reish Lakish, in such a situation, there, we were talking about Rabbi Yochanan's case, the Lo Arvino Mi'Kora. But if you did mix them together, so then if you would have separated each one with a date, then it would be separate. But if there's no date for each one, then they're not separate. So Reish Lakish also has to talk out what would be the case if you had inserted a separate date in the separate listing that followed the general listing. So in other words, the general listing is enough to make certain that the Edim signed on the whole thing, but not if you went ahead and you separated them out, even according to Reish Lakish, with different dates or with a different space. Okay, so then that means, according to Rabbi Yochanan, bottom line is the Klal, even if you never put them together, you listed every individual with his wife separately, as long as two things. You have one date, and you used a vav between each one. Mr. So-and-so divorced Mrs. So-and-so. And Mr. So-and-so divorced Mrs. So-and-so. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the and is sufficient, as long as there's one date, to ensure that the signatures were on the entire document. According to Reish Lakish, the only way to make certain that the signatures are on the entire group get is by first literally creating a group get by saying, we the people, listing all of the men who are being megarish respectively, all of the following women. But that's not good for a get, because you need to have la velo chaverta. So then you need to go over again. A is megarish B, and so on. And then it would depend, even according to Reish Lakish, if you have a separate date. Whoa, that would be a problem. But if you don't have a separate date, then you don't need an and, according to Reish Lakish, because you already put them all together as a group get back at the beginning. So this makes it very clear, the definition of the terminology, klal versus tofes. Okay, excellent. And now we are ready for our Finnish kapitan, who is sitting directly beneath our Croatian relaxation man. Our kapitan never relaxes. Oh no. He's always right there on the edge of his seat, looking closely at his sonar. Please take us through the shoals of this very difficult sugya, dear kapitan. What would you say?
The fin is finished. Zog the Helek Mishnah.
Could we try Mishnah?
Mishnah.
Oh, Mishnah.
Mishnah. See, that's what you do. I lose the space, Rabbi. I'm sorry.
Listen, we've got the conductor. The Rebbe is getting close. He's getting right on the. He looks like he's ready to knock down. I'd be careful if I were you. Zoom's moving him over.
Rebbe, I should stop giving Richie singing lessons then, huh?
Yeah, I think so. They're very effective.
I think this is beyond the science of music.
I never claimed to be an opera singer.
All right. Well, the hills are alive, gentlemen, and we're ready to go. And now we've got ourselves a really fascinating sugya, which I must tell you, Rashi makes a real confusing Mishnah because of the fact that he doesn't seem to realize that in Greek, you write from left to right instead of from right to left. So he's got a whole different pirush on the Mishnah. I think what we'll do is we'll take the Rambam, his pshat, with many of the others, of the other Rishonim, learn it like the Rambam as well, and we'll use the Rabbeinu Tam's girsa over here, and we'll understand it kipshutai as much as possible. And let's just understand before we begin. Normally, you write a signature of a witness. You write the man, let's say, Reuven ben Yaakov Eid, right? That's the normal way you write. Gavriel, Yisrael. Okay. So if you write in Greek, you do the same thing according to the way that the Tosfos understands, Rambam understands. So if you write in Greek, you write the same way, but you write from left to right. Now, the question is, when the witnesses are signed on the get, they need to be signed under the get, obviously not on the side of the get, as we're going to see, not on the top of the get. And what if you would have written two gittim on the same page in two columns? So you have two totally separate gittim in two totally separate columns. Now, in order to get witnesses beneath it, what you did was you had the witnesses sign all the way across so that you have, let's say, Reuven ben Yaakov Eid stretching across both of these gittim, right? And then you have whatever, Menashe ben Yosef Eid. Now you've got two witnesses across. The problem is that when I look at the second get and I look down at the bottom, underneath that second column, I do not have a full name. I only have Yaakov Eid, or maybe Ben Yaakov Eid. We'll see where did he write the Ben? So then we run into some problems because I don't know that the person who started signing on the right and continued signing across, that he had in mind to sign on the get that's directly above his father's name. I only know that the beginning of the signature came under that first get, right? Okay, so that's why we're going to get into some kind of problem where you write two gittin in two separate columns. So if I only have two witnesses and I write Reuven ben Yaakov Eid and Menashe ben Yosef Eid, let's say, right? So then in that case, I would only have one get that is clearly the one on the right. That's clearly kosher. If I have the same thing done in Greek, then I only have the one on the left that's kosher because the witnesses signed in Greek from left to right. So then they were signing on the get that was on the left-hand side of the page. Okay, so that would be the simple case. Now, suppose you wrote Reuven ben under the right one, and then you wrote Yaakov Eid under the left one. And then the next guy did the same thing. Menashe ben Yosef Eid. So that's where we have an interesting question. Could that be a different person, Yosef Eid? Or suppose you wrote Reuven, and then you wrote Ben Yaakov Eid under the second one. where you wrote Menashe, and then under the second one, you wrote Ben Yosef Eid. Now, that gets even more interesting, because if you would sign only Ben Yaakov Eid, that would be kosher, if that's how you sign. A signature doesn't have to be your name, remember. As we're going to remind you about later, if you'd rather be sailing, so when Richie signs, he doesn't sign Richie. He draws a sailboat, like some of the Chachomim in the Gemara. And that's a perfectly valid signature. It means I'd rather be sailing. Lately, Richie has been signing with these two ski-like things for some reason. I don't know what that means. But in any event, maybe that would be a separate signature. So you've got your name signed on the right, and then you have Ben Yaakov, which is another way of writing your name, signed on the left. Okay, all of these issues are what we're going to be taking a look at in our Mishnah. So let's go through the Mishnah now in the most poshut way. Shnei Gitim. So you've got two separate Gitim that are written in two columns, one next to the other, all on one page. So one's on the right and one's on the left, and you've got two Hebrew signing Eidim. Shnayim Eidim Ivrim. Obviously, all the Eidim are Jewish. That's not the point. But you've got two Hebrews signing Eidim, and they're signed directly across the entire page. So it goes all the way from the right side all the way through to the end of the left side. And that means that the signatures, their own names are under the right side get, their father's names are under the left side get. Or you might have a situation where you've got Shnayim Eidim Yevanim, meaning Jewish Greek speakers, and they're signing in Greek or in English, and they are going in left to right, then they sign under the left get. That would be the first one. And their father's name would be under the right get. So the point is, Etche Eidim HaRishonim Dikra'inim O'Kasher. So the one get that has the first witnesses written, so let's say the Hebrew speaker signed first, two Hebrew speakers followed by two Greek speakers. So then only the one on the right is kosher because the Hebrew speakers signed on the right hand. If the first wants to sign with the Greek or the English, then the ones on the left, the get, are signed, and only the get on the left is kosher. But we do not take into consideration, for some strange reason, the second group of signatures. Now, I mean, why not? Why couldn't the get on the right be kosher with two Hebrew signatures, and the get on the left be kosher with two English signatures? And why in the world would it matter that there were other signatories in between? That the Gemara is going to be asking. Okay. So basically, I mean, what we're going to say in the Gemara is that what happened is that we have a chashash, that being as we have one language, and then it switches to another language, we're worried that the people that switched to the second language, whichever one that was, wanted to maintain the same order that the first language did. So in other words, if you signed in English, Reuben, son of Jacob, and then the next guy's name was Menashe ben Yosef, but you signed in English. So he sees that the father's name is on the right. So we're not certain that he didn't do the same thing, but he reversed the signatures. So in other words, he, instead of writing in Hebrew, Menashe ben Yosef, which would have had the Menashe on the other side, he wrote something like Bilam, Beno Baar, right? Okay, so therefore what he wanted to write was the son of Yosef, Menashe. So maybe he put his own name on the side of the Greek side because he thought that it was necessary to keep it even. So we never know if somebody did that. We don't know whether the second guy did that. We don't know whether the third guy did what the second guy did or whether the third guy did what he would normally have done in Hebrew. So we really don't know how many signatures we have for either of these sides. We may have one for the left and three for the right. We may have one for the right and three for the left. And therefore, we end up having a chashash, as we'll see in the Gemara. Now, if Therefore, we have Eid Echad Ivri ve'Eid Echad Yevani, Eid Echad Ivri ve'Eid Echad Yevani. How about if we have alternating one underneath the other? So then we for sure are going to have this question. All of them are going from one side to the other. Then both Gittim are psulim, because then we have to immediately be afraid, you see? Because then you have right away, the first one had signed in Hebrew and the second one signed in Greek. I don't know if he kept it in the Hebrew direction or if he turned it to the Greek direction. So over here, we don't even have two witnesses signed on the first one. So therefore, we're going to have a problem on all of these. In the first case where we have two Edim and two Edim, then the first one to sign would be okay. So that would be the way that we understand our Mishnah, Shneihem Psulim. Now, the question is, why don't we allow the one on the right-hand side to be kosher with your own name, Reuven, and the second one would be kosher with Ben Yaakov? Ben Yaakov 8 is a perfectly good signature, because in the next Mishnah says, if you just signed without even using your name, you signed Ben Ish Ploni 8, that's kosher. So you've got two signatures. Reuven signs and Ben Yaakov 8 signs. He can sign either way. He can sign with the word Reuven, or he can sign with the signature Ben Yaakov. So what's the problem? Both Edim are kosher Edim. And same person, but he signed each one of those Gittim, right and left. So did the guy underneath him. So what's the problem with that? The problem is that he did not write Ben Yaakov. He wrote Reuven Ben under the first side in the right, and then he just wrote Yaakov Eid at the last, and that's his father's name. But he never wrote Ben Yaakov, and therefore, we don't have signatures on the left. Wait, so what's wrong with saying that the right-hand side is kosher with the signature Reuven Ben? Why isn't that a good signature? And then the other one on the left will be signed Yaakov 8. So why not assume that Yaakov 8 is a perfectly good signature? A person can sign with the words Yaakov 8. So what's the problem exactly? Should be kosher even that way. So I don't understand why you say that it's definitely going to be puzzle. Why exactly is it puzzle? Isn't that a kosher get? It says also, even if you just write the name plus the word aid. So here too, it should be kosher with the name plus the word aid. Well, maybe he didn't write aid. So, I mean, you're assuming he wrote aid, but you can't be sure. Maybe the Mishnah is actually talking about a case where he just wrote Reuven Ben Yaakov. That's the way they did it in Yerushalayim. They never would write the word aid. So that's one possibility. Or let's assume that they did write aid. Even so, we got a problem. Liolam de Kataf aid. But the point is that if we need to be Mekayim, these signatures, so that we're talking about that it came from a place that needs Kiyum. So when we know, it's talking about that we know that this signature that says Yaakov is not Yaakov's signature. So therefore, if that's the case, it's still the signature of the son. If it's the signature of the son, then it's all part of that first Reuven Ben Yaakov. It's not a separate person, and therefore it wouldn't count. And if that's the case, you're right. Theoretically, it could have been, if we didn't need a Kiyum, then we could have assumed that the get was Mekuyam when it came with B'fanai Nechtav B'fanai Nechtam, which is the equivalent of Kiyum, and then it would have been kosher, 100%. That's true. But we know that it's not Yaakov. But maybe the person, you're right, we know it's not Yaakov. Why does it have to be Yaakov? Can't Reuven the son sign his father's name as his own signature? I mean, if he want, you could sign anything that you want, right? So maybe in honor of his father, he signed his father's name, and he had in Kavana that that would be the signature on the left side, so that he's signing under the right side with his own name, And he wanted to make the second one kosher. So he had in Kavana that his writing should be identifiable with his father's name. No, because people don't do that. Lo shavik inishmei v'chotem shmo da'avua. It's true you can adopt any signature that you want, but people in general do not take their father's name as their name in a signature. But you're assuming that he meant it to be his father's name. What makes you think he meant it to be his father's name? Maybe it was just a trademark. In other words, of course, he's not identifying himself as Yaakov. He's not saying my name is Yaakov. He's saying here is my signature. You could take whatever you want as a signature. I mean, Dimasi Manashavya. Maybe he just made it into an icon. He likes his father's name as an icon. I mean, what's wrong with that? Rav, remember, would rather be fishing. So he would always sign his name with a fish. He would never write his name. Or Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina was dreaming of the beach. So he drew a palm tree, you know. So he was thinking of sitting under a palm tree. He wouldn't write Hanina. Rav Chista would just draw a beautiful samach. For Chista. Rav Oshaya would draw an ayin. Rabba Baravuna would draw a sailboat or a mast of a boat. So he drew his father's name as a sign, not as a signature, but as an icon signature, not as a name signature. No, that's a chutzpah. A person doesn't take his father's name and say, this is my brand. So, I mean, look, if we knew that, then it would be a perfectly kosher signature. That's for sure. We just do not assume that that's what happened here. If we knew for a fact that that's what happened, then there would be no problem. You're right. Okay, wait a minute now. You said that if we have two Hebrew writers and then two English writers, then only the ones on top are the ones that are kosher. Well, I don't understand why that's true. Why isn't the one on the right, which is written on the right side, kosher with the witnesses that signed on the right in Hebrew? And then the one on the left should be kosher with the witnesses that signed in English underneath those two Hebrew signatures. What's the big deal? So, litkasher haibishnei edim ivrim, litkasher haibishnei edim yavonim. We've got two Hebrew signatures and two English signatures. So they're both kosher. Each get has two witnesses. What's your problem? The Tanan, I mean, I'm sure you don't think that a signature has to be in the same language as the get. I mean, the next Mishnah says you don't need that. The Tanan get, shikatavo, ivrit, vedav, yivanit. Let's say the get was written in Hebrew and the signatories underneath are in English. Or you wrote the get in English and underneath it, you have Hebrew signatories. Yevanit ve'edav ivrit. It's all kosher. So what's the problem? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, the problem is that wherever you have a space between a document and the signatures, then the signatures aren't kosher. Why? Because if you have a space, then someone could write in anything that they want in that space. And therefore, it is a forgeable document. And remember, that's one of our klolim. You cannot have a forgeable document. It needs to be written in a way that cannot be altered. So you need security paper and so on and so forth. So over here, if you leave two lines, someone writes in underneath the get, this on condition that she deposits $300,000 in my bank account by such and such a date. And now it looks like that was written into the get and that's what the Adam signed on. So you can't have a get like that. So maybe that's the problem. The left-hand get has two lines between the get and the English signatories, right? Because it has the Hebrew signatures on top. So maybe that's what you're saying. But that would be totally wrong. Because Chizkiah explained that if you filled up the space between the contract and the signatures with a bunch of nonsense. Let's say you wrote in the names of witnesses who are all relatives, and therefore they are meaningless. So you wrote you had her father's sign, you had your father's sign, whatever. That's perfectly okay, because there's nothing that you can forge in between, because you filled it up with nonsense symbols. So over here, the left side get has got the nonsense Hebrew symbol, so to speak, that are filling up the two lines between it and the signatures in English, and therefore the English signatures are kosher. So why is the get on the left pasul? Says the Gemara, you know what? There's a braita that Ziri said that says that you're right, that both of them are kosher. What you're saying makes a heck of a lot of sense. All right, but I'm asking you about our Mishnah. What about Tana Didan? What does our Tana hold? Why does he think that there's a problem? Because he's afraid that maybe Gundalitchat. He's afraid that the people that signed in English underneath, they were feeling a little bit inferior because they don't know how to sign in Hebrew, but they know how to read Hebrew. So they see the get on top is signed by Reuven ben Yaakov. So they say, oh, so that means that the father's name goes on the left side and the son's name goes on the right side. So maybe they did the same thing in English and they reversed the order. And they figured that way it's better. But then if that's the case, we've got all four signatures on the right, because maybe they tried to make themselves look a little bit more knowledgeable, you know? So maybe they signed Gundalit. Gundalit means, well, it's actually not clear what Gundalit is. The Gaonim say that Gundalit is a word for a lefty. So whenever you do things in an unusual way, it would be called Gundalit. That's one possibility. Gundalit sometimes means wavering back and forth or just not normal. Okay, but whatever it is, we understand the implications. The implications are that the lower signatories were reversed, and maybe they had the name of the father also under the first get just to keep things the same. So therefore, our Tana is worried about if that's the case. If Gundalit Chatim, then Kulo Achad Hu Dechatimi. That would mean that all of them signed basically only on the first get. So because of that, we can't rely on it. How about, we've got a little bit of a problem here in terms of the Girsaot. Because of the Girsa, the way that we have the Girsa, then we're sort of pushed into Rashi's understanding that the issues of the Greek were that they started with the father's name on halfway underneath the left side, and it continued, I mean, the Greek name, and then it continued with the father's name underneath the right side, because there was no other way that he figured that you could make the Gemara work out. So the Rabbeinu Tam says he's right. There is no way to make the Gemara work out, except that this is the wrong Girsa. And that therefore we should stick with the simple Hebrew-English question, and that would be the idea. So if you learn like Rashi, then you end up with a Girsa which assumes that you had going in both directions. One went from the right to the left, and one went all the way from the left to the right, and then you actually alternated. But according to the Rabbeinu Tam, he doesn't have a Girsa in the Mishnah. All he has is Eid Echad Ivri, Eid Echad Yevani. Eid Echad Ivri, Eid Echad Yevani, Boi Mitachaze Letachaze, and not Boi Mitachaze Letachaze in the other direction. So because of that, he has a simple way of reading the Gemara. Okay, so if we have Eid Echad Ivri, the Eid Echad Yevani, so then the question is, what would be wrong with that? You should have it to be in kosher. You said both of them are pasul. Why are both of them pasul? Each one has a Hebrew signature and an English signature. So, I mean, certainly the Niskasha, Hai Be'ed Echad Ivri, Hai Be'ed Echad Yevani, at least the first one, if there's only one that we're talking about, because the next Mishnah says also, don't think that the witnesses have to be signed in the same language. They don't. Eid Echad Ivri, Eid Echad Yevani is kosher. You know, that's a very good point. And the truth is that Ze'iri says in a braita that it is kosher. Hatani Ze'iri Shneim Kisherim. So why does our Tana say not like that? V'tana Didan. our Tana is concerned that since you're alternating languages, it could be that the second guy already signed in another direction in order to keep things the same as it was in the Hebrew, which he doesn't know how to sign in, but he knows how to read. So you might have three people on the right side, or you might have three people on the left side. So you can't be Maksha either. That's why Tana Didan says both of the Gittin are puzzle, because Dilma Gundali Tratit, in which case you've got three witnesses signed on the right, or three witnesses signed maybe on the left. Since we don't know, therefore, we have to be puzzling it. Okay, so this is a bit of a complex kind of sugya. We'll go on Bezrat Hashem tomorrow to discuss where the signatures have to be in relationship to the get, in terms of the direction. Bottom of the get, could they be also on the side of the get? Remember that by get mekushar, the signatures were on the back of the get, right? Because we folded it and then we signed. Can you sign on the back of a contract to make it a kosher contract? All of these issues to be further researched.